Blog Talk Radio.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm Sissy Ellison, your host, and I believe that every person can have a God-given purpose, a gift or a talent, a testimony that is meant to impact this world for the good and bring glory and honor to God. I believe, as Romans 8:28 tells us, that all things, even the bad stuff, work together for the good of those who've been called according to God's purpose. Our life stories, no matter what they are, can become God's stories of victory and triumph. God is famous for making lemonade out of lemons, giving hope to the hopeless, using the foolish to confound the wise, and even using our worst trials and losses to make us stronger, to teach us important lessons, to equip and gift us, and then to use us as we comfort and help others. Nearly everyone these days uses social media as a means to connect with other people, to gain information, and to just entertain themselves. It is common to see people with internet devices in their hands most everywhere we go. In fact, it has become hard to even remember when we were not a world steeped in social media. Sometimes social media can be used detrimentally, as pornography, materialism, violence, and even prostitution are freely passed around through cyberspace. However, sometimes social media can be very positive, as it is used to present optimism, peace, great opportunities to advance our ministries and our businesses, and to share our Christian faith. My guest this evening is Donald Ciprian, founder and CEO of Instant Jesus, a brand new app that is available to provide most anything anyone could want to study or know about the Christian faith and Jesus Christ. Donald is going to share his life story with us tonight as well, and then he will tell us about this wonderful new app and how we can get it. Welcome to Reflecting His Gifts, Donald.
Thank you for having me on the show. I'm excited to be on here.
Did I say that right? Is it Instant Jesus or Instant Christ?
Instant Christ.
I thought, as soon as I said that, I thought, I didn't say the right thing.
It's okay. I was blind, but now I see. Instant Christ, I see.
Okay, Instant Christ. Okay, Donald, it's so wonderful that you have found a way to bring Jesus Christ to social media. Christians truly need to be able to instantly obtain access to information about Jesus and the Word of God. Before we talk about this ministry of yours, however, I know my listeners would love to hear your life story. Everybody has a life story that others would love to hear. And a good place to start is your early beginnings, Donald. Would you share some stories from your childhood with us tonight?
Well, I grew up in South Park Sunnyside here in Houston, Texas, which is a rough neighborhood. But at the time, it wasn't as bad as it is now, but it was still pretty tough. It was tough because of drugs. You know, it wasn't uncommon to see a prostitute walking down the street, drugs being sold on a corner. But, you know, I grew up in that environment, but I had a very strict upbringing with my mom. You know, my mom had five children, three sisters and myself and my older brother, but she didn't play. She made sure we was in at a certain time. You know, we had to beat the night lights. When them lights pop on outside, you better have your hiney in the house or you better get reprimanded. You know, so even though
mama,
we grew up, oh yes, I had a very strong mom. And, you know, she made sure we went to school. She made sure we did what we supposed to have done as children. But growing up in an environment wasn't easy because you saw so much garbage around you. But if it wasn't for my mom, no telling, you know, what would have happened to me. But my mom had a strong faith, a strong belief in Christ, and it kept us grounded, kept us in the church.
Yeah. Well, how did being poor, I know you've mentioned being poor, I've read your testimony, how did that affect your family, Donald? I'm sure there were times you all must have struggled to maintain. What was that like for you?
You know, my mom pretty much kept the struggle. She didn't make it so evident to us. We knew it was a struggle because we ate the same food most of the times. I mean, it seemed like I grew up on Spam and pork and beans and wieners, you know, and, you know, dessert was sugar bread growing up. And, I mean, it was a treat to go out to eat, which was very rare. But we always had a Christmas. It wasn't much to our Christmas, you know. But it was times that we had great Christmas. You know, we'd get a bike, which to this day is a mystery how she was able to buy us a bicycle. You know, it's one of those things that we kind of knew was poor, but we didn't feel it as much because it was a lot of love and it was a very tight family. But, yeah, it was tough at times because, you know, the house showed it. I mean, the furniture wasn't all that great. You know, we had our little black and white TV with the wallpaper on to keep the signal to come in. I mean, we that's how we grew up. But that was very normal because in that neighborhood, everybody was struggling.
Right. Well, we often hear of families who are very poor, and yet, you know, somehow the parents managed to instill optimism in their children, and those environments were often happy in spite of being poor. I've heard those who struggle with poverty in their youth say, we didn't even know we were poor, and it sounds like you're describing that kind of upbringing. Parents have a great power to influence the environment, and whether you're poor or not really isn't the point, is it, Donald? It's whether you're happy and cared for, isn't it?
That's exactly right. My mom gave us a lot of love. She was a maid. She did maid work, and she cleaned over 24 rooms per day.
And you
a lot
are
of times
kidding.
A lot of times she would come home. Her back was hurting. Her feet was hurting. I would have to rub her feet. I mean, she did whatever she could to make sure there was food on the table. And my dad was barely at home, so I didn't see much of him. So it was, you know, looking back, it was a rough. But at the same time, it was a lot of love, and we enjoyed the simple things in life, and that's church and family.
Yes. Love and our faith can carry us through most anything, I've found. Money and material things don't buy happiness, as wise people know and as you seem to know. But as a child, did you dream of a better life and having more than you did? What were your aspirations back then? What did you dream of doing someday, Donald?
Well, back then, I just wanted to be able to take care of my family. You know, I wanted to be able to provide. I wanted to be able to make a difference. You know, I never knew. I never had, like, I wanted to be a police officer or anything like that. I just knew I wanted to work hard and make a difference and be a provider. I always had a love for, you know, being able to give to people and, you know, something working with my hands. But so far as in, I never had a goal so far as in being a police officer or a doctor or anything like that, but I just knew I wanted to work hard and make a difference.
Well, it sounds like your mother kind of instilled that in you. We our parents are great role models for us, Donald, don't you think? And when you see your parents with great work ethic and taking care of family, that kind of makes the kids that way most of the time, do you think?
That's exactly right, because I didn't, you know, growing up in a neighborhood and growing up with my family, I didn't have a great example so far as in working in a white-collar job or different things like that. I just saw them work hard. So growing up like that, I figured, you know, whatever I'm going to do, I'm going to just do the best at it. And I trusted God that he was going to lay out a roadmap in my life, and I was just going to follow it and trust him. And surely that's what he did for me, because, you know, coming out of high school, you know, I just had, you know, your regular high school type jobs. My Baskin Robbins was my first job, and, you know, working at McDonald's after that, and got in the retail business and started selling clothes. And that's when I found out I actually had a natural born salesman attribute that I didn't even know I had. And one guy came in my office and said, man, you should go sell cars. You know, you'd be really good in selling cars. And, of course, back then I was very afraid because that was commission sales. And, you know, I was just happy at making $25,000 a year back in the early 90s. Well, I started selling cars, and next thing you know, my first month I sold over 15 cars because I enjoy people. I have a love for people. And it became a natural outlet for me to sell because I enjoy, you know, making people happy and seeing a smile on their face. And from there, I was blessed to go to finance school. And they sent me to finance school, and I got my certificate doing that. And I wound up being the top finance managers in the whole company nationwide out of 350 dealerships, which over 1,000 finance people. So God has just really just guided me through life and just really gave me a roadmap for me not to have been to college or anything like that.
Right,
it goes to show you, as long as you put him first and, you know, and have a heart to serve him, he will truly order your steps, and that's what he's done for me.
Well, he absolutely has. You have a gift of eloquent and winning speech and conversation, and you're absolutely an extrovert. So I think you're gifted in that, and God has definitely put that in you. I believe every good and perfect gift comes from God, don't you, Donald? And do you believe he put those gifts in you for a reason?
I think when everybody's born, he actually gives you gifts at the time of conception on what he wants you to do here on this earth. You know, people believe, you know, that a lot of people out there believe there's nothing good in them, or they feel like they just here just basically blowing through life. But that's not the case. God has a purpose for every individual. But the only way you're going to know that purpose, you're going to truly have to sell out to Christ and have to truly give your life to him and live the life that he called you to live. And that's a holy life and a life controlled by the Holy Spirit. And I know that sounds difficult for most people, but it's really not difficult because he does all the heavy lifting. Once you give your life to Christ, he will truly order your steps and really walk you into prosperity, walk you into the promises, but you got to be willing to give yourself away to him.
You are so right about that. You have to know him to know your purpose, don't you?
Absolutely.
I think that's what you're saying. Well, where did that car sales job take you? I think you work for Toyota, and today you surely have advanced in that field, haven't you? Tell us about your work with Mercedes-Benz.
Well, I've been with Mercedes-Benz now for over 5 years, and I work for one of the top Mercedes-Benz stores in the country. And I've been blessed to have contracted over 1,200 people a year. And I'm the top finance manager in the whole corporation, like I said before.
Wow.
Yes, and I've been very blessed. I don't have a tough work schedule like most car people. You know, I'm very blessed to be able to get out at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. for the most part. And it just really changed my life because, you know, you're dealing with a whole different type of clientele as well as a great brand and a great product. And I believe in just treating everybody with the best, and Mercedes-Benz stands for the best. It's the best of nothing, and it's been a true blessing to me. But I feel my true calling is, of course, doing the ministry that God called me to do, and that's
right.
Yeah, we get into that later.
It seems that you had great success in your field of work. However, I know that you base your success on your relationship with Jesus Christ. I would love to hear about how you became a Christian. What led you to Jesus Christ? I know you grew up in the church, but there comes a time when we have to have our own personal relationship with Jesus.
Absolutely.
How did that happen for you?
Well, I tell you, I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old. But of course, I just got wet when I was six when I got baptized. I had no idea really what I was doing at that age. But, you know, as most Christians, I lived a lukewarm life for most of my adult life. I didn't get serious about my walk with Christ a little bit over 3 years ago. And I just heard the Holy Spirit voice one day. I was led in my spirit to, like, Donald, what are you doing? How long are you going to play church? How long are you going to pretend to be a Christian? And that's what I felt so strong in my spirit one day. And I was living a life of a bachelor, you know, just being a typical bachelor, very successful, no children at the time, and just doing whatever I wanted to do. And one day I just heard his voice saying, it's time to stop playing church. And I have a prayer closet in my home, and I went in my prayer closet, and I just cried out to God. I just literally, when I tell you, Sassy, I cried out. I literally cried out to God and said, Lord, I am tired of being a hypocrite. I am tired of being a lukewarm Christian. I want to be on fire for you. I want to live for you. I want to give my life to you. But I can't do this alone. So right now I surrender. I give you my flesh. I give you my body. I give you my mind. I take the lust out of my life. Take the chasing of the women out of my life. I want to live holy. And I literally cried out to Christ in my closet. Wow. And I said, Lord, I prayed for a wife. I said, Lord, in order for me to walk in holiness, I need for you to send me a wife. You know my weaknesses. And I want my wife to have a heart to serve you. I want her to be beautiful on the outside as well as on the inside. And I want her to cater to me like my mom catered to me. I want a nurturing wife. And I gave God a basic description of what I wanted in a wife. And about 6 months later, I met this wonderful lady, and we dated for about 6 months, and I fell deeply in love with her. And, you know, we was engaged for about 9 months, and after that, we got married. And I knew she was God, sent, and I was able to really, truly surrender in a spirit-filled marriage. And ever since then, I decided just to really get into a prayer and praise life with Christ. And I tell you, when you marry praise and worship and prayer, there's no way that you can't be transformed. And all that evil, all the lust, desires that I had of living in the world, all that completely went away. When I tell you Christ delivered me, he delivered me from this world, and he blessed me with a wonderful wife, and I know my purpose now after I surrendered.
Isn't that something? My heart is just on fire listening to you. You know, Jesus says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. And so many times, just like you described, people go through the motions and go to church and their Bible gets dusty. And if you asked them if they were a Christian and loved the Lord, well, they would say yes, and they would put it on applications that ask about, do you have a religious preference? But knowing about Jesus and knowing Jesus are two completely different things. And like you, Donald, when I really wanted to draw nigh to him, when I was sick of myself and sick of my life and sick of my mistakes and transgressions and just being a quote Christian, unquote, you know, wasn't enough. I had to have him. And you were describing that same experience. And it's transforming, isn't it?
Well, Sissy, the more you hang out with him, the more Christ rubs off on you.
Yes,
I mean,
he does.
You got to have to get into a lifestyle with him. Christ is not into visitation. He's into owning us. He wants to marry us. And that's why God, Christ said God marries the church. We are the church, and we are the bride. He's our groom. So, you know, in order to get to know his thoughts, you have to become one in him. And I wasn't for years until I surrendered. So, yes, you are absolutely right. You won't know Christ until you spend time in intimacy. And it's all about relationship. It's not about routine. It's not about religion. It's about intimacy. And once you get that intimacy with Christ, there's no turning back, because once you fall in love with him, you're not going to be so quick to want to break his heart. Sin will hurt now. And that's what I was missing. I was able to sin before, and really, honestly, I can care less once I sinned. Oh, God, forgive me. And then I go right back to the sin the next 30 minutes later. That wasn't repentance. Repentance is when you fall in love with him, and when you sin, it hurts you to your heart, and that's when you know you're in a deep relationship, because the hurt you're feeling is actually the Christ that lives in you. That's him grieving.
Yes.
You're just feeling his pain.
And you've described exactly, you know, people say, well, can you lose your salvation? You know, I don't think when you really, 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 really met Jesus, like you described, you are hurt inside when you sin. That's the Holy Spirit.
And I
think that's how you know you belong to him. He doesn't throw us away. He just lets us feel that conviction. And that's how we know. And he never lets go of us. We keep on going through that all of our lives, I guess. But the thing that marks a true Christian is that they might waver a little bit, but they always, always are held on to by God, and they keep repenting, you know, and trying to move past those besetting sins. Well, you mentioned that you met your wife, Seneca, and I'd like to talk a little bit about being equally yoked. You know, it's so important as a Christian to be equally yoked with another Christian. Did your relationship with Seneca and being married and in love with a Christian woman enhance your relationship with Jesus Christ, or did it distract you? How does being married and equally yoked to another Christian person enhance your relationship with Jesus?
Well, I tell you, my wife, when I married her, she knew of Christ, but she didn't have a deep intimacy with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how God works. You know, God would yoke you with people that has a heart for Christ, and they don't even know it. But God knows all things. So it was quite interesting, because she had, you know, she had came from a spiritual background. My mom was a pastor of a church. But she wasn't all the way there, you know, with the fire and the zeal, the passion that I had. So in the beginning, it was a struggle, to be honest with you, Sissy, because you know, I would praise and worship God in the mornings. I would get up and I would scream out and praise God. I'm very vocal about my relationship with Christ. God said, let everything have breath, praise the Lord, and I do that.
Yes,
you know, I'm not
I
ashamed.
Do
I get up and I bring the heavens down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was
yes.
it was weird to her because she never seen that. And so, and I would, you know, and I would ask my wife, have you got into your word today? Did you get into prayer today? And I would do that in the beginning, and until one day, you know, I just felt compelled in my spirit to not ask her that anymore. And God told me to, you know, in my spirit, he led me to say, come to me about your wife. And I just started praying to her, to the Lord about my wife. I said, Lord, give her the heart that I have. Give her the heart to really be passionate in her walk with you, to surrender all to you. And I just let go and gave it to Christ. And let me tell you, my wife is a very strong woman. She's into working out, taking care of her health, taking care of her body. So she's really big in health and fitness. And that was her God. You know, she would put working out before praise and worship. She would put working out before reading the word. Until one day, she was actually competing for this building contest. Mm-hmm. And not building, but a bikini model contest.
Yes.
And she overdid it. And so she wound up overworking her muscles, and she wound up going into the hospital.
Wow.
And the name of it, I can't, rhabdomyolysis, is basically overworked muscles, and it can actually cause your kidneys to shut down. So,
wow.
There's something within the blood cells, it shouldn't go over 100 points. And she was like 1,400 points.
Oh, my goodness.
14,000. I'm sorry, 14,000 points. So the doctor didn't understand why her kidneys didn't shut down, why her body didn't shut down. But I knew what God was doing in my spirit. You know, God was telling me, I'm working with your wife. And so God had his hands on my wife the whole time. And my wife literally cried out to God in the bed at the hospital, surrendering all. And it's amazing because, isn't that something? So my wife from that moment surrendered to Christ and gave her all to him. And when I tell you the Holy Spirit just really came into her life and completely transformed her into the image of Christ, and now she's on fire for Christ. Now I ain't got to tell her to read a word. I ain't got to tell her to have a praise and worship. So literally God gave me exactly what I asked for, a praise and worship praying woman, and it's really using her now for this time because God knew I couldn't be equally yoked on where he's about to take me with the social media platform that he gave me. He knew he had to have my wife on the same page as I was with Christ, and he did it. I gave it to him, and he literally took over and brought my wife to Christ, which is an amazing
and
story.
And he can do that. He can do that. He can do what he's going to do all by himself. And so often we get in the middle of it and we push people away by insisting that, you know, you can't make anybody love Jesus. If they knew him all by themselves, they would love him dearly, but you can't make them do that. And sometimes we just have to let go. And you mentioned something very important. The prayer closet is the place to go and discuss those matters with God. And he wants us to go there and talk about those things with him and to pray for those people that we love so dearly who are lost. But God often, too, uses crisis and infirmity.
Absolutely.
And accidents and injuries and great losses and all kinds of things to bring people to him, because many times he'll show us that those are our idols, you know. And
that's right.
When he removes those or our capacity or our ability to use those or to utilize those, then that's when we can see Jesus. It's kind of sad that it has to come to that, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, you got to go through the fire sometime to be on fire for Christ. And unfortunately, a lot of people, you know, I always say, why wait until the Lord has to pull a rug from underneath you to come to him? You know, but unfortunately, a lot of times it takes that because we get so caught up in this world. You know, we get so caught up into doing what we want to do, and we forget this world is not our home. We're really here on a passport. You know, once you give your life to Christ, this world is no longer yours. You're heaven bound, but we're here to prepare for heaven and to get ready for heaven. This is like a boot camp. You know, it's basically getting ready for heaven, and what your reward would be in heaven.
This is all a school, and now as a Christian, I've walked with the Lord 19 years. Donald, my life fell completely apart. 19 years ago, I came to this city homeless. I mean, I'd been a really rebellious and a terrible person, actually, and dealt with addiction and everything. And God, as you said, pulled that rug out from under me. And I thank him so much that he did that. I just love him so dearly for lighting that stick of dynamite under me, because I never would have budged, I don't think, if he hadn't. But Amen. As I have grown through these years and walked with him for almost 19 years, I'm so clear on the truth that everything in this world that we experience is a lesson. The people that we encounter, the things we go through, it's just God leading us on this wonderful journey, and it's taking us to that place that we're going to be where he's going to show us why it was all like that, and we're going to see who we were really supposed to be, and I just can't wait. It gets dearer and dearer to me, doesn't it to you too?
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times God allows us to hit rock bottom to let us know that he is the rock at the bottom, you know,
and
I just thank God for that, because if it wasn't for that, you know, I wouldn't have the wife I have today. And, you know, the whole time he kept his hands on her, and the doctors don't quite understand how she was able to make it out the hospital without any issues whatsoever. But, you know, in my opinion, she was never sick. It was just something to get her attention.
Exactly. God does that. He does that beautifully. And he's so tender. You know, he's so tender with it, too. Donna, we're going to pause for a few moments to hear a word from our sponsor about the exciting Woods End series from gifted author Alexandra Clare. Stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
The Woods End series by Alexandra Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow Boston Police Detective Jared Scheel as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Wood. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexandra Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexandraclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.
Welcome back to Reflecting His Gifts. I'm so enjoying tonight talking with Donald Ciprian, founder and CEO of Instant Christ, a new app that we're going to hear about in just a little bit. Donald has such a wonderful testimony and such a love for Jesus that is so obvious. I can just feel it over the airwaves so strongly, and that is so wonderful. Donald was telling us about his marriage and how he and his wife both surrendered their lives to Christ. Donald, do you have children? Do you and Seneca have children?
No, we don't have any kids just of yet, but that's planned in the next year. We plan on starting a family.
Yeah.
I have a stepson, Evan, which is her stepson. But that was before I got married. I actually had a son when I was actually living in the world. But he's a blessing, and he wasn't planned, but he's mine, and I love him.
That is so wonderful. Well, how important is your relationship with Jesus, and do you feel that it has enhanced your marriage, your career, and just your overall life? Have you made Jesus Lord of absolutely everything in your life, and how has that affected everything in your life?
Sissy, let me tell you, Christ is involved in every aspect of my life. When I tell you he is the center, he's the center of our marriage. I don't make any moves without consulting with him. The first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is praise and worship. On my lunch break, I spend my prayer time with him. He's just in the midst of every aspect. When you make Christ the center of your life, literally he comes in and he actually gets involved with every aspect of your life, from your marriage, from your finances, from your job. I used to be a very flashy guy. I had to have the $100,000+ car. You know, I had to go out and spend crazy amounts of money on clothes. You know, when you fall in love with Christ, mm-hmm. He really tells you what's important and what's not important. You know,
right.
People at my job couldn't believe that when my lease was up on my SL, which was a $120,000 car, which was nuts. Which was nuts.
No.
I look back on that.
Yeah.
That was just nuts. And I wound up buying a Prius as my commute vehicle. They thought I lost my mind.
You're kidding.
No. I went from
a change.
I went from an SL convertible Mercedes to a Toyota Prius as my commute car because the Holy Spirit put in my spirit, hey, you don't need that. This is what I want you to do. And guess what? They thought I lost my mind. And
You found your mind.
Yes. And, you know, and I wind up just saving my money. And my mm-hmm. wife is very frugal. And, you know, she's not that type of woman that believe in just throwing money away. And we just start really just, you know, being more wise with our money. Just because you make a great living don't mean you have to give it away. And
right.
So what we found that once you start sowing into the kingdom and making sure you tithe and all, pay your tithes and offering and give to people in need, that's a greater reward. You know, it's not all about the fancy cars and the Gucci shoes and, you know, it's all about what are you going to do, what are you doing for the kingdom?
Isn't
and, you know,
truth?
Of course, Christ wants you to have nice things, but he don't want the nice things to become your God. And,
right.
And I used to make the nice things of life as my God before I got to know him.
Exactly. So many people do that. They find their value and their worth in things. And I'm like you. It just doesn't matter. I've had the same old car for so many years, and I really don't care. All I care about is, can I get it fixed, and will it keep on going a little bit longer? I mean, and that's just not what your focus is when you are kingdom-minded, is it, Donald?
It's not. You know, we was blessed. My wife has a very nice car, and, you know, and I was blessed with a nice car, Mercedes-Benz later, but it was an older model, and I bought that, and it's much cheaper. And it was, mm-hmm. you know, he just gives you guidance, and that's what's important. I mean,
it is.
You know, it's not all about to me, it's about sowing and what are you doing for the kingdom. That's what's going to last. All this stuff here is just temporary. It's going to be here one day, and it's going to be left to someone else when you leave.
It certainly is. And these days, people really do need to be more frugal because we don't know what's coming. We don't know what's up the road. And, you know, we don't need to get too attached to material things. Well, Donald, marriage can get pretty rocky these days. In fact, I don't see how people stay together without faith in Christ and living by the principles of the Word of God. Donald, what is the role of the husband according to Scripture? Describe a Christian husband and father to our listeners.
Well, the role of a Christian husband is to be the priest of the home. God ordained the men to be the leaders of the home, the spiritual leaders of the home. So as mm-hmm. men, our responsibility is to know the Word of God. You know, a woman mm-hmm. shouldn't have to go to the preacher, to the priest, and say if they have a question about the Bible. They should be able to go to their husband, and a husband should be able to sit the family down around a table and say, look, we got to crack open this Bible, and we'll get a word from God. So I believe the role of a husband is to be the leader of the home, to be the spiritual leader, to actually lead their family in praise and worship, lead their family in prayer, and to lead their family to church. You know, mm-hmm. they should, you know, the book should stop with the father. And, mm-hmm. you know, when a man is the priest of the home, when a man puts the church as the priority, well, the wife is going to follow and the kids is going to follow because the man mm-hmm. is the superstar of the home. In order, you know, God ordained man, and all blessings flow from the man unto the wife and unto the children.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Well, what is the role of the wife in a Christian marriage? What is her role biblically?
I believe biblically the role of the wife is to be supportive of the husband, to be submissive. Mm-hmm. And a woman shouldn't have to, don't look at it as, oh, I'm not, what do you mean submissive? You know, it's okay to be submissive to a husband, especially if he's being led by Christ. Now, mm-hmm. if that man you're married to is not being led by Christ, and of course he's living a worldly life and he's on, you know, doing the things of this world, then I would mm-hmm. suggest that they seek counseling and to help them find a more, basically, to give us more foundation in a home, but I believe that the woman's role is to be submissive unto the husband and let the husband lead the family and be that backbone to that husband, because a man is only as good as the wife. You know, I believe that when God was made Adam, Adam ran straight into a tree and bumped his head. And I believe that he said, oh, this man needs a helpmate. And he took the rib from Adam and created a wife. And Adam told him to go around the tree. You know, and I believe that a woman is the glue of the family, and to be there for the husband, to support that husband, and to be that nurturing, to be the nurturer of the family, and to help
right.
that husband and to help the children. So together they can be a powerful team. So I really believe
right.
that the role of the wife is to be a support system for the husband, especially
right.
if that man is being led by Christ.
Especially because, you know, there are a lot of men in churches who will use that scripture, you know, you must submit to me because the Bible says so. But they must be submissive to the Word of God, and the Word of God says that husbands should love their wives as Jesus loved the church.
Love the
and
church.
You know
yeah.
what? He laid his life down for the church, and he was very tender toward the church. He gave up everything. So I believe the recipe can only work in expecting the wife to be submissive if the husband is loving the wife as Christ loved the church, don't you think? I don't think it works if the husband isn't doing
that. It won't
that.
Work. It won't work, Sissy. The only way that a wife is going to truly be submissive, that man is going to have to truly be led by Christ. Because when you're led
yes.
by Christ, you can't help but love your wife the way she deserves to be loved.
Exactly.
Because Christ is ruling your heart. When Christ is in your heart, you got to smell like love. Just like if you hang out in a donut shop, you got to smell like donuts. Well, if you hang around Christ, you're going to smell like Christ, and you're going to act like Christ, you're going to be like Christ, you're going to be a Christ impersonator. And the Word of God tells us we should be Christ impersonators.
Exactly. You are so right about that. Well, some people discard marriages as easily as they discard old clothing. Divorce, as we know, is on the rise. It's an epidemic. How can married people retain their original love for each other, the respect and the intimacy they shared at first? How can they keep that kind of relationship alive forever?
Well, you got to have to truly both be in a true relationship with Christ. You got to have your personal relationship with Christ, and you have to come together as man and woman in prayer time with God. You have to. You know, in our prayer closet, you know, we come together in our prayer closet, and we also spend alone time in our prayer closet. So I believe that long as Christ is in the center, Christ will keep that fire burning, because you will come up with new ideas, new strategies, new things to keep the fire burning. You know, we make a rule in our home to never go to bed angry. We make a rule in our home to never leave the house without kissing each other. You know, we just do those things. We make it very important for us to have date night. You know, at least once a week we get out, we have a nice dinner, we go out somewhere, we go to a nice dinner, we go to the park. We just do things together to keep our marriage fresh. You cannot let it grow stale. It's just like food. If you leave the food out and not cover it up, guess what's going to happen? It's going to get stale, it's going to get old, and you got to throw it out. Well, there's no difference in marriage. You got to take care of it. It requires maintenance. And the maintenance is loving on each other, hugging each other, holding each other before you go to bed, before you turn on your favorite side and go to sleep. Why not hold on each other and just hold each other in each other's arms? It don't always have to be about sex. It can be about intimacy and just holding each other. Holding each other is powerful.
Yes. And respect is powerful, Donald. I think if both men and women realize that being respectful and to your husband or wife, to your mate, goes a long, long way in keeping that marriage alive and healthy, don't you think? What about respect?
Respect is everything in a marriage as well, because one thing I can tell you about my wife, oh, my goodness, she's such a blessing, because when she gets upset, she literally just say, I need a minute, and she will walk outside, and she would just sit down, and she would come back in, and we just talk. You know, it's not about yelling and screaming. It's all about discussing on whatever that's bothering you. And one thing we have in our marriage, we have an open marriage to where we can discuss about anything. There's nothing that we can't talk about. If there's something bothering us, it's something that's not feeling right in our spirit, we talk about it, because it's all about respect. You don't have to curse each other out. You don't have to scream at the top of of your lungs to get a point across. If you love your wife, you will listen to her. If you love your husband, you will listen to him. And that's the biggest part is respect. Don't talk to anyone that you want to have them to talk to you. The old golden rule, do unto others as you have them to do unto you. It's very important.
Right. And so often people do that outside the home, and then inside the home, they just drop all those ways and treat their family any old way. And I'm sure not for that. I think you ought to treat your family even better or as well as you treat others on the outside, because that's where your true ministry is. I always tell my children, I'm not married. I have a daughter, and I raised a grandson. And to me, my number one ministry has been here. And I always say, if they cannot support what I say in my testimony and say my mom or my nana is exactly what she tells the world she is and she treats us that way, then I may as well give it up. So don't you think your testimony at home is your greatest testimony of all, Donald?
Absolutely, because if you can keep your house in order, then you can keep your life in order. Exactly. Everything starts at home.
Yes.
You know, you don't want to be a hypocrite. You know, the Lord hates a hypocrite. He talks about it all the time in the Bible. Don't be a hypocrite. So
right.
You can't be perceived as a certain way in a world and you go home and you're totally opposite, because God sees all and he knows all. You can't put blindfolds on him. He knows what you're doing when no one else is looking. So, you know, you want to practice what you preach outside your house as well as being inside your home. You want to carry those same practices, mostly, more so in your home, because these people have to live with you. You know, your kids
right.
have to live with you. Your
right.
wife has to live with you. So why create a hostile environment when you can actually make it a lot more pleasant for you to be around them and for them to be around you?
And you mentioned something very important a moment ago. You said you and your wife came together in the prayer closet, but you also met separately in that prayer closet. It's very important to have your own relationship with Jesus Christ and your personal time with him as well as with each other. And I'm very glad you said that, because if you lose your identity as just an individual with Jesus Christ, then I think you've lost something very important. There are some things that I know you can share with as a husband and wife, but there are some things that you just have to talk to Jesus about by yourself, don't you think, Donald?
You are absolutely correct, because God has a plan for every individual, and that's why it's so important for you to have your quiet time with Christ. A lot of people don't meet with God until they go to church. Well,
mm-hmm.
when you go to church, you get a corporate message for all believers in that church. But what about your personal message? What about that one-on-one phone call from Christ? How are you going to get that word? How are you going to get that message through, or that message from him? You got to get that message from an intimate relationship. And, you know, when you get in your quiet time with God, you know, it should be more, less talking and more listening. You know, meditating on his goodness, meditating on his power, and just asking him for revelation, asking him for direction. And God will soon start speaking to your spirit. And all of a sudden, you start getting these wonderful ideas or these wonderful instructions on which way to go and which road to take. You know, life is really, it's hard without a navigation system. Have you ever tried to travel without a navigation system? I mean, it's hard to get around. You have to pull out that map, and you got to figure out which road to take. And, I mean, you're trying to read. It's hard to understand where the Holy Spirit is the navigation system of our life. And if you're not tuned in to that navigation system of the Holy Spirit, then you're not going to know which roads to take in life. So if you're just only spending time with God at church, then you're missing the big picture, because God speaks to our heart. He speaks to our spirit. He speaks to our mind. He speaks to the deepest part of our soul. And the only way you're going to do that is you're going to have your quiet intimacy time with God. You have to. And that's have to be as more important than eating, because eating only satisfies your body, but the eating of the intimacy with Christ satisfies your soul, and the soul what makes you. If your soul contaminated, then your whole outward impression to others is going to be contaminated. So God wants to change us from the inside out, not from the outside in.
You are so right. And oftentimes I begin my prayers in the morning, I like to pray between 5 and 6 when nobody else is up, and I'll say, Jesus, you are like oxygen to me. You are my breath. You are my food. You are my water. I need you more than anything because I can't go a step without you today. And that's my favorite time of the day, just me and him. And there is something so special about that one-on-one time with Jesus. Well, Donald, there may be some married people listening tonight who may need some real hope for their marriage. I know there probably are people listening like that. Maybe the communication has stopped, the respect is gone, and even the love has died, and maybe there's even been a breach of those sacred marriage vows, and the husband or wife have been unfaithful to the other. What advice would you give to a couple who is experiencing marriage burnout or even something as painful and serious as an unfaithful partner?
Well, first of all, I want my brothers and sisters out there to understand that God specializes in brokenness. You know, a lot of times you have to break something to get the best out of people. You know, it's no different than peeling an orange. In order to peel an orange, to enjoy that orange, you got to peel back the skin to get the flavor. Well, a lot of times we as people need to be peeled back from our own arrogance, peeled back from our pride. And sometimes brokenness, it takes that. So if your marriage is broken, this is what God specializes in, is broken people. So there's hope for your marriage, but you're going to have to, if your spouse cheated on you and you're trying to work that out, you can't work it out in the flesh, because the flesh is going to have resentment, the flesh is going to be angry, the flesh is going to not want to have anything to deal with that person anymore. So the only way you're going to be able to forgive that person is you're going to have to forgive that person through the Spirit. The only way you're going to be able to forgive that person in the Spirit, you're going to have to get into that relationship with Christ and ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to forgive that person that cheated on you. And if you are the person that cheated on your wife, then the first thing you need to do is repent and ask God to forgive you from adultery, and ask God to cleanse you from that, because your flesh is going to want to continue that relationship. The flesh is going to want to continue to have that side relationship going. So the only way you're going to break that relationship off is you're going to have to break that relationship off through the power of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So you have to surrender your life to him and give him authority and give him permission to intercede in you. See, one thing about our God, he doesn't push himself on anyone. God said that he comes to the door and he knocks. And if we don't let him in, guess what? He's not going to come in. So you got to be willing to give yourself away to him, to open up the door for him to come in, and to take that adulterous spirit out of your life, because that's an evil spirit. That's a spirit of the enemy. So you think that's you, that's the spirit of the enemy. So the only way you're going to be able to overcome the devil, overcome with Satan in your life, is you're going to have to invite the Holy Spirit in, give him authority over your mind, give him authority over your flesh, and ask God to give you the power to end that relationship of that person that you're cheating on your wife or your husband with, so therefore you can end it, and ask God to give you deliverance. And once you ask God to give you deliverance, ask God for the forgiveness of the Holy Spirit with the blood of Jesus. Ask forgiveness, say, where the blood of Jesus can cleanse you. And once he cleanses you, then you develop that intimate relationship. Then y'all come together in one with intimacy with Christ, and God will heal that marriage. The only way your marriage can survive, you got to have to truly go after Christ as like you go after breathing.
Right.
You know, it has to be as natural as breathing. You don't have to think to breathe, right? Well, you shouldn't have to think to praise and worship. You shouldn't have to think to have prayer time with God. Once you develop that, God will heal any broken situation, because he specializes in brokenness.
Yes, he can. He makes all things new. That's his specialty. It really is.
Yeah.
Well, Donald, that's wonderful advice. And now we're going to talk about Instant Christ. You've come up with a wonderful new app called Instant Christ. How did you come up with this idea, and just what is Instant Christ? I understand this was sort of a joint venture with your wife. Tell us how all this came to be.
Well, Instant Christ is a truly amazing story. It happened one morning in praise and worship. I was in praise and worship. Remember in the conversation we had, when I praise and worship, I cry out and when I tell you, I get going in praise and worship. And I was crying out to God, and I was screaming, I was crying out, I had my hands going, and I said, Lord, I want you to use me like you used the great men of the Bible. And I start calling out Paul, and I start calling out Moses and John the Baptist. I want you to use me as a modern day disciple for your glory, and I want you to run your wealth through my hands to change the world. I want to be a tool for the kingdom of God. I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're able. I want to make a difference in this world, and I want to make a difference to the elderly people and the elderly generation, because I have a heart for the elderly people, because a lot of them are living on Social Security, and a lot of them can't even pay their bills. A lot of them are falling out in the summertime because the heat is too much. I want to be a blessing to those people as well as people in need around the world. So I ask God to make me wealthy, to change the world, and also to build his kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's what I asked him. And a few months later, I had a guy come in my office at the dealership. True story. Mm-hmm. He wound up bringing up Christ. God always lead me to people that wind up bringing up Christ, because I can't bring it up at work because it's a work environment. But once they bring up Christ, I am free to talk about faith.
Yeah.
And in my office, a gentleman we saw praying. He asked me to pray for him, and I prayed for him. He gave his life to Christ right in my dealership, which happens to me all the time. I'm always, at least 3 to 4 days a week, I mean 4 days a week, God will lead me to pray for someone, a person give their life to Christ at my job.
Wow.
And it was so powerful, my job understands it, and they're okay with it because they know I don't bring it up. They know the customer always brings it up. You know?
Isn't that something?
Yes, God will give you favor, I tell you.
Yes.
And he gave his life to Christ. He surrendered his life. He was a Christian, but he was lukewarm.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave his life to Christ, and about 3 weeks later, now get this, I'm driving home, Sissy,
mm-hmm.
and I answer my phone, and I go, hello. He said, hey, this is Julian. I just want to thank you for praying for me a few weeks ago, and I got a message for you. I said, what do you mean a message for me? He said, Donald, I was cleaning my house, and I was led to give you a call to let you know that God put in my spirit to call you, that he wants to connect the body of Christ through your hands.
Wow.
And I go, what? And I literally had to pull off on the side of the road, and I got overjoyed with tears. And and the gentleman told me he wants the app to be called Instant Christ. He wants to create a social media platform where you can unite the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally got home, and I told my wife, and immediately we was led in our spirit on what to do, how to do it, the color, the layout. We became developers at that moment.
Isn't that something?
Yes.
When God gives an idea, he gives you the whole nine yards, doesn't he? He doesn't just give a little bit. He gives you the whole thing.
Yes, he does. And over 7 months, I would get these awakenings in my sleep with these ideas on how to put this app together. So bottom line is, it's been a year later, and
mm-hmm.
through God, miracles and connections, we develop an Instant Christ social media platform where believers can actually unite with brothers and sisters around the world. And it's not called friends like it is on Facebook. It's called brothers and sisters. You can literally
mm-hmm.
go in there and create your page. You can send brother and sister requests. You'll be able to do the same thing you do on Facebook, but without the secular distraction. What makes Instant Christ unique is the way you reach out for prayer. You have the ability to select brothers and sisters that you want to pray for you.
Yeah.
If you want to keep those prayers private, because it might be something personal, or you can select public. That means all your brothers and sisters that's connected to you can see your prayer requests, and
mm-hmm.
they can sing you prayers. And the way they
mm-hmm.
sing you prayers, unlike Facebook, they can just sing you a text as a comment on your post, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, on
mm-hmm.
Instant Christ, you will have the ability to record a prayer or words of encouragement and upload it as a comment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So people will actually have comments and audio, and as well as later we got to actually add a video response. So not
mm-hmm.
only you be able to hear that prayer, but you will actually be able to see that person giving you words of encouragement, which would actually touch their heart more than ever. It's one thing to say, I'm going to pray for you, but it's another thing to be able to get those audio prayers and those audio encouragements up to 3 minutes, which never been done in social media before.
Wow. I'm excited about that. How do you get to that app. I want to get to it.
Well, I tell you, it's very easy. Right now we launched on Android, and later we'll be on, before the end of the year, we actually launch on iPhone. But for right now, you can go to Google Plus and basically search Instant Christ, and you'll be able to download the app. It's a user-supported app, so we are dependent on users to give to pay for the usage space and the storage data to support the app. Also, churches will be able to create their own church page to where they can actually add links to the preacher preaching, the choir singing, and users will be able to pull up all the churches within a 30-mile radius. They'll be able to view those videos to see if they like that church, and if they like that church, they can simply hit Get Me There, and their phone would turn into a navigation and take them directly to the front door of the church, which is awesome.
Wow, it is awesome. Well, if the listeners and myself, if we just Google Instant Christ, we'll find out all we need to know about it like that. Can we do it like that and then
go from there? You can go to instantchrist.com. That's instant, like instant coffee, but instantchrist.com, and you will actually be able to see all of our news, all of our press, all the features of the app, as well as support the app and give to the app, as well as you can also Google Instant Christ, and you can get a whole bunch of information about the app. There's so much information out there about it already. It's truly a revolutionary way of connecting the body of Christ in a safe environment, because so much evil on other social media platforms. And on here we have zero tolerance for nudity, profanity, or any violence, because you can actually report anything that's not of God, and we can actually remove it and delete that person off the app. It's a safe environment to share your love. And that's what we was missing in today's social media, because there's so much filth out there, and Christians didn't have a place they can go, a full social media platform, because we not only a prayer app, but we actually everything that the church need for the body of Christ, because they can actually search for talent. Because as a user, you can upload your talent videos. You'll soon be able to upload your talent videos as well as upload your audios if you're in search for working for a church. And churches can simply put their zip code in and pull up all the talent audios and Zoom videos and scout talent. And if they like you, they can simply inbox you to come in for an interview to work for the church.
My goodness, there are all kinds of possibilities. I'm just sitting here thinking, goodness, you could find a job in ministry. You could get your gift or talent out there. You could connect with other Christians. I think it's just a wonderful thing that God has given you in this. And I certainly want to go and find out more about it, and I know our listeners will too. It's just awesome. Donald, and I'm so thankful you've been so open to God and so in love with Jesus, because he has so much to give us if we will just give ourselves over to that kind of relationship. And it looks like he's given you this awesome ministry. What has the response been so far to your new app? Have you had a lot of response?
We had great response. We actually have almost a 5-star rating. People love the idea because it's actually a nonprofit, and so it's an Instant Christ ministry. So people love the fact that they give and will go towards and changing the world for a better place. And so we're very strict on where the money is going to help to support the body of Christ, and we're very transparent in what we're doing with the finances. So people love that part about it. And we need a positive movement in today's world. There's so much darkness out there, and I just want to bring as much light to the world through the power of Jesus Christ. And I just pray that your listeners get on board, and please share the news of Instant Christ. Download the app, and once you download the app, and just go to the search bar and start searching for brothers and sisters. You don't have to know them. Just send them a brother and sister request, because we all one body.
Yes, we are.
It's not like friends on Facebook
where
you have to know them. You don't have to know them. We all brothers and sisters. So just start asking people to be their brother. Start asking people to be their sister. Matter of fact, ask me to be your brother. My name is Donald Ciprian, and anytime you need prayer, you just send me a prayer request, and guess what? I will send you a prayer message, because guess what? We in this together. We are the bearer.
One of my favorite sayings is we're all just walking each other home, and I believe that as Christians, we are walking each other home. We're not in competition. We are to stoop down and help brothers and sisters up who are struggling. We are to encourage each other. We are to further each other. We're to pray for each other. So I feel this this app is a wonderful way to do that, and I'm just so thankful that God has given you this wonderful ministry. Donald, before we close tonight, I would love to ask you, if you will, to pray for our listeners. Someone may be struggling with a lifeless marriage. Someone may even need to experience salvation through Jesus Christ. They might not know how to do that. Someone may be hearing the voice of God telling them to begin some kind of ministry, just like he told you. There could be so many needs tonight in our audience, and God knows all of those. Would you just pray, take a few minutes and pray for our listening audience tonight as you feel led?
Absolutely. Gracious Father, we come before you, first of all, acknowledging you as our Lord and Savior, our beginning and end, our Alpha and Omega. Father God, we thank you for this phone call. We thank you for this meeting. We thank you for your brothers and sisters that's listening on a call, Father. You know everyone that's on this call, Lord. Matter of fact, you designed them before they even knew themselves, Lord. You know their situations. You know their struggles. You know their struggles in their marriage. You know their struggles in their finances. You know their struggle in getting an intimate relationship with you. Father God, I'm asking you, Father, if you would just touch every individual's heart right now on the sound of my voice. I pray whatever is in a spirit, Father God, is not of you. I ask you, Father God, to give them the power to remove it through the power of Jesus Christ, so therefore there will be nothing hindering them in their walk with you. I pray the blood of Jesus over them. I pray the blood of Jesus over their finances. I plead the blood of Jesus over their marriages, over their unsaved children. I pray that they would get the spirit of boldness to live for you, to live for you with all their heart, to search you with all their heart, and to look for you for any guidance that you have fit for their life, Lord. Father God, we are living in our dark days right now, Father God. We living in the last days, and you are calling people out of this world to the light, Father God. So I pray that your listeners would take their life to the next level, that they would surrender their life to you, Father God. They would no longer be no more lukewarm, Father God, but they would be on fire for you, Lord.
Yes.
Father God, you are calling people to be on fire in these last days, Father God. So give them the spirit of boldness. Give them the spirit of holiness. Give them the spirit to walk like Christ, to talk like Christ, to think like Christ, Father God. Give them the spirit to put down their life and to pick up their cross and live for you, Lord. You are calling people to pick up their cross in these last days, Father God. You are calling people to be a representative of the Most High. No more playing church, Father God. You are calling people to be the church. So I'm praying, Father God, for your listeners, that they will be the church. They will no longer play church, Father God. That they will get off this internet tonight, Father God, a changed person, that they would go into their own prayer closets, Father God, and they would surrender their life to you.
Yes.
They would lay down anything in their life that's hindering their walk, Father God. Give them the spirit of anything that's in their life, Lord. Bring it to the front of their mind, so therefore they can take those thoughts, they can take that evil, Father God, and they can lay it on the cross, Lord. God, would you touch them right now, their hearts, touch their marriages, touch their children, touch their mind. Give them a zeal for you. Give me thirst for you. Give them a thirst for holiness, Father God. Take out anything that's not like them, not you, Father God, and replace it with your love, replace it with your compassion, and replace them with the zeal to live for you. Father God, we need you right now. There's a lot of marriages are broken right now. So I lift up every marriage that's broken and give it to God, because he's a mighty God. And we just thank you, Lord, for your power. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now, if you could just bless them all and to bring them closer to you. We love you, Father. These prayers we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I agree with every word of that prayer. Donald, you are just a precious, precious child of God, and I've so enjoyed talking to you. I feel like you are my brother in Christ, and I thank you for being on the show tonight. We've come to the close of another wonderful program tonight. I know you've been inspired by Donald's story, his love for Jesus Christ, his family, and I have too. And I know we will all want to check out Instant Christ as soon as we can. Just go to Google and check out instantchrist.com and see what you think about that, because I think you'll love it. I think I will too. Thank you, Donald, for being our guest this evening. Be sure and join me again next week as I talk with another inspiring guest who reflects God's gift. Till then, may God keep you in his tender care. Good night, Donald, and good night, listeners.
Good night.
The Woods End Series by Alexander Clare. When Andrea is framed for murder, she discovers that divorce cannot sever the ties from a dangerous cult. Follow follow Boston police detective Jared Shield as he sets out to solve a murder and kidnapping, only to confront a vast conspiracy competing to produce the last Antichrist of world history. Against the backdrop of drama and intrigue, the Woods End characters come to see that demons are on their last assignments. Bible prophecy unfolds in real time, and Jesus Christ is at the door. Two books, Woods End, and the thrilling sequel, The Year Between the Woods. Download from Kindle, Nook, Screwpulp.com, or purchase the softcover at Amazon. Also by Alexander Clare, a work of nonfiction, discerning spirits, visionary gifts, and practice. Find it all at alexanderclare.com.
LifeQuest Christian Network.